Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I just wanted to mention that I received an email that I have to update some things on my podcast, and I just tried to, but when I went through the system, I'm not even sure if it was actually doing it all properly because it wouldn't let me access what looked like the final step. So it said that something had to be done by April 30th. So I just tried to do it, and I don't know if it actually did what it was supposed to, because it didn't look like it was following through with what it was supposed to do. So I'm not quite sure. So after April 30th, there might be some technical issues. So by May 1st, I guess we're going to know. So if anything happens after that date where you don't hear any new episodes from me, that's probably me trying to figure out what's going on here. Which, by the way, I've talked to you guys before about when certain things can be triggers, and sometimes we don't know why we're so intensely bothered by certain things. And I've mentioned before how when something is out of the blue and something's not ordinary, like in the sense that it's not something you normally have to deal with, this is an example. So something that relates to me being able to access you guys, being able to talk on this podcast where you can hear me and I can do episodes, to me, that's a really big deal. So that, therefore, if something might possibly be interfering with that, and again, this is something technical. So what does that remind you of? It reminds me of when I was really stressed out about updating that 401k stuff. And I told you, it's something that's out of the ordinary. And I think it's good to point it out. And it's also good to know when it's happening. Because it's a huge trigger for feelings of incompetence. And I go back to that all the time. You know how that's my biggest trigger. And so, again, this is something technical, and I'm not good at technical things like this, and I'm not good at doing things that are spur of the moment, and I'm not good at doing things that are out of the ordinary. And so when things like this pop up, and a lot of times also when there's a lot of steps involved, because with this, there's a lot of steps involved, kind of like when I had to sign up for 401k or signing up for health insurance, you know, it's big things that you only do once in a blue moon, and there's a lot of little steps, and it's very technical. It's very triggering, especially if your background is related to trauma and stress, and how stress impairs our ability to focus, and that impairs your ability to learn in school. You know, I've talked about all this before. So this is triggering, but the fact that I know that it's a trigger and why, that's a huge part of the solution, as to not get triggered by it, even though it is triggering. And it kind of makes me want to vent, you know, like it doesn't make me want to vent in the way I just want to scream and shout, but it's one of those moments. So it's good to know what it is that's happening when it's happening, and to, you know, take it slowly and calmly. I also wanted to add, I did an episode yesterday, I think it was, about hobbies and interests and activities for building self-esteem and how it's important to do those things. I actually saw, whenever I got home yesterday, a lot of times I get home about 2:45 in the afternoon, and that's when the Kelly Clarkson show is ending, and I don't watch the Kelly Clarkson show, but I always see the ending of it because whenever I get home and turn the TV on, it's always the ending of the show. And I thought it was kind of funny because she had a young woman on there. I don't remember her name, but she has like an Instagram page where she talks about, she was talking about hobbies. And what I find fascinating, and what I want to mention to you guys, this was probably like a 25-year-old woman. She might have been younger. And she was saying how important it is to engage with your hobby, because it's you kind of, I think what she was saying was it's like you getting to enjoy something, like just truly enjoy something without an agenda attached to it. And I thought, well, of course, right? And it made me think, I wonder if because of so much social media and so much of what I think a lot of younger people grew up with, these content creator influencers always making change on the side with all this stuff, there's always like this end goal of money. I wonder if a lot of younger people maybe don't see that a hobby can just be a hobby. You don't have to make money off of it. It doesn't have to have an end goal of a purpose other than it's you engaging with your interests. Because when I heard this young woman saying these things, it was almost as if she didn't know this. And it was like an epiphany to her, like, I'm doing something just because I like it. And, you know, there's not an end goal. She specifically stated that. And I thought, of course, right? It's kind of like back in the, I shouldn't even say back in the day, but a lot of cars nowadays are made overseas. And I personally don't know as many men or women who work on cars for fun. But I grew up with an uncle. He's now like in his mid 80s. And back in the 50s and 60s, he was a hot rod guy. Like, he would drive hot rod cars, and he was very well known. He was in a car club and everything. And he was all about a hot rod car, you know, driving fast, you know. And he grew up in a particular era and a time, kind of like James Dean and Rebel Without a Cause, you know, just he was a speedster type guy. And he had a cool jacket and everything like that. And he grew up in small town America kind of stuff, but he really fit the image. And this is someone I grew up with, and he still loves everything about cars. Like, he watches a lot of car shows, but that was his hobby. It was just something to do that he loved to do. And him and his friends were in a car club, and, you know, they would be in the garage for hours working on cars, looking at magazines about cars and driving their cars around. And it's what they loved. It was just their whole world. And, you know, I think cars are one thing that maybe you don't see that much of in younger people, or at least I don't see it, where there's younger people sort of doing this with their own cars. And I think a lot of times it's because they're not as easy to work on nowadays. And they're very, very technical. It's almost like you have to be a computer programmer if you want to work on hot rods, rather than more of like a mechanical kind of a person back in the day. But that's something I think of. And I also was going to mention one thing that I never think of this, but I happen to think of it and I forgot to mention it in regards to hobbies. It's something that I might actually do. I've never done it before though. And it's, I think, a great hobby because the finished product is so, I think, neat. And it's building model airplanes or model sailboats, like a, you know, building a sailboat and just having it for decoration in your home, or just something to look at, but something that you're proud of, kind of like the puzzle that I did, the 1,000-piece puzzle. I framed it and hung it up on the wall. Model airplanes are something that I don't ever see anybody doing those, but I'm sure there are people doing them. But it'd be really cool to actually build one, and if there's any way to fly it, you know, you might have to go out into a field or something, but actually fly the plane. But even just having it around just for looks is something that could be a hobby. You know, you could build them and sell them at a yard sale or something, but I just thought that that was kind of cool. Or even give them out as like gifts for people. You know, that's just another example of just something kind of interesting to do. But I was going to say, in regards to my last hobby that I mentioned was beekeeping. Actually, my parents actually have a neighbor who's a beekeeper, and he gives me honey. And that's a good example of when you have a hobby and then you get the fruits of your labor. That honey is so good. That raw, natural, local honey. Really very different from what you would buy at a store. I also had mentioned gardening. And when I was a volunteer at a historic site, I planted an heirloom garden that was from the 1850s. So everything in it was something that would have been in a garden at this site in the 1850s. And I want to just point out, gardening is a lot of time and it's a lot of effort, and it's something outdoors and there's, you know, bugs and you get dirty, but the reward was definitely worth it. But I was just going to say there was a lot that went into that. A lot of work, a lot of time. So some of those hobbies take up more time and more dedication than some of the other ones. I would say gardening is a dedication. You have to really want a garden, but really think out what your garden would be. And even if you did a flower garden, you could do things that just grow back every year. So every single year you can look back at your flowers. Like if you plant irises or peonies, irises and peonies are pretty hardy, and a lot of places in the United States, they do pretty well. Especially if you live more in a central part of the United States. But those are just some examples, planting flowers that come back every year. I can't remember if they're annuals or perennials, but a flower garden is another example. So I just wanted to share that. Just a couple more things. And I just wanted to, again, mention April 30th. After that, if there's some issues, I'm going to try to figure it out, but I think I solved it today. It just didn't look like it was letting me finish everything, but I did everything it would allow me to do. So regarding the technical things, but that's all. This is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.